The following is a lightly edited version of the Bobby Blackwell Show from 2010. Starting in 2011, these shows will be put into a separate uncut RSS feed on the BobbyBlackWolf.com website and will be posted the night of the live show. These unedited shows feature long, awkward pauses and may contain technical difficulties or explicit language. This feed will be for the edited versions of the shows that sound good for a podcast. Good luck. Hackers have infiltrated your Wii and DS with malware. Are we getting complacent with our online devices? And homebrew on your DS just became illegal in the UK. Good or bad? Tonight is August 1st, 2010, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next.
In Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
You know what, Bacon Bits, you fail. That's what I think. You fail. Yes, I know the theme is unfinished. I spent an hour looking for like a particular clip, and I couldn't find it. So I'm still looking for it. I'll find it. It's not like I lost it. It's just I don't know where it is. When you have this many episodes and you're trying to find one particular word, it gets kind of hard. But that's going to actually be filled with a whole bunch of like caller clips and stuff of a lot of people who have called in. So it's just... Hello, welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us in on All Games Radio and want to be a jerk, like certain people, chat.allgames.com is where you can go to put in your intelligent comments or unintelligent comments, and then I'll try to just read the intelligent ones. It's like a game. Skype line will be open in about 30 minutes. Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, is the way you can call in. No other number to call in or anything. We get enough people on Skype, so I think it's fine. It's free, skype.com, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. So for those that watched live the Friday night show that I do, which did not record in video on Ustream, so there will be no video of it, unfortunately, I need to look up what day did Halo 3 come out? Somebody in chat, like, go Wikipedia real quick. What day? Don't give me the link to Wikipedia. Just like tell me what day Halo 3 released in the U.S. Because it's pertinent to this story. Yes, the original Halo 3. It was 2007, something like that. Because I have joined the rest of you, which I have not joined since been a part of since 2006. I know of. And I have joined the rest of you, and I now have a red-ringed 360. September 25th, 2007 is when my Xbox 360... Actually, probably, well, 25th was the day it came out. I probably didn't hook it up until the 26th or 27th. So September 26th or 27th, 2007 is when I started using my Xbox. And then this past Friday night, July 30th, 2010, is when it died. It finally red-ringed 5 minutes before Friday Night Gaming was supposed to go on the air. We rebooted it. We had everything set up. We were about to go on the air, and it red-ringed, and we had to scramble and find another 360. I was very, very sad about it. So it is finally red-ringed. It was the Halo 3 edition of the Xbox 360. It's not because I'm a Halo fan. It was a bribe from Microsoft, so don't feel too sad. It's not like I actually like paid for this particular 360. So it's probably, you know, good riddance to it, according to some people. Because it might have tainted my view, even though I do remember still giving a negative review to Halo 3, just because I don't like shooters. And they knew that, and they still flew me up there. It was nice. But, and T-Hamster, or Thamster, I don't know how to pronounce it, I'm sorry, says 100% failure rate, just a matter of time. Pretty much. I mean, you know, I'm not going to whine and complain. I was a little bummed about it. I've got another 360 that's actually older from 2006 that hasn't red ringed yet, because I barely use it. And it's down there now. I'm considering getting the 360S, you know, the 360 sexy, because the S is for sexy. It's not for slim. That's what I've heard. I'm actually considering going out and getting that and going ahead and just, you know, bite the bullet and stuff. Even though, you know, it's obviously the manufacture date hasn't been, it's almost 3 years. The manufacture date on the 360 that Red Ringed was August 24th, 2007. So it almost made it out of warranty because I have no receipt for it, obviously. So I could always send it to Microsoft. Obviously, I've, you know, there's a the shop that I do Friday Night Gaming from. They do repairs and stuff, but they're very backed up. They're low on techs in the summer. Lots of people on personal leave. So, you know, getting it through them, it probably might be quicker for me to get through Microsoft than go through them right now, which kind of sucks for them because they usually had a very quick turnaround, especially on the Red Ring. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's a Halo 3 edition, so it's not like I'm just going to throw it away or make it a doorstop. It's actually worth something, especially since I've got all the box and cables and everything. So, yeah. There you go. So there was my weekend. And then, you know, and my old 360 was the old core unit, and it was probably built in 2005, the one I've got. It's a refurb that I got when my original one Red Ringed after less than a year. But man, it's loud. Like even my Halo 3 one wasn't as loud as my original core. I was a core tard. I bought a hard drive. T27 Duck asks, should we hold a virtual funeral for your past 360 on World of Warcraft? I've never played World of Warcraft, but feel free. I mean, we played Taps on Friday Night Gaming. We held a eulogy to it. We showed it several times, even though you can't see it on the video because it didn't save. Thank you very much. MXT wants me to give it to him. No thanks. There's other people I'd rather give it to. I'll sell it, maybe. Spazinator, I think it's Spazinator. He's calling himself stupidest screen name ever, but he says if you don't have a receipt, wouldn't MS fix it for a fee? Well, you see, here's the thing: like the Red Ring is covered for 3 years, and the manufacture date of my 360 is August 24th, 2007. So there is absolutely no way I've had it for longer than 3 years. So I could send it in without a receipt, and it's covered under the 3 year warranty because the system hasn't existed for 3 years yet. I only have a couple weeks to do that, though. You know, so. Yeah, my 360, it's, yeah. But yeah, speaking of Halo, and by the way, people in chat, I actually planned on talking about this at the beginning. It's not because somebody said it in chat. A Halo game I actually enjoyed was released very, very recently. I really enjoy playing it. It's a Halo game. It has the blessing of Microsoft, and it's great. It's for the Atari 2600. Halo 2600, which, you know, is what 2,597 times better than Halo 3. It was released. It was actually created, programmed, and everything by Ed Fries, who, if you've heard that name before, he was like one of the heads of Xbox back when Xbox started. He worked at Microsoft, worked his way up through like the office and stuff, and then really, you know, was one of the founders of the Xbox and the whole Xbox movement, and kind of the one of the directors of their vision. And he left Microsoft and started to, and he actually read a book we reviewed here on the show that everybody here in chat were like, this sounds boring, Racing the Beam, about the Atari Video Computer System. It's kind of a academic book showing about the Atari 2600 and in the problem, you know, the issues that they faced and how they got around them and stuff. And he decided to create Halo for the Atari 2600, and he actually did it. It's a 4K ROM, so it fits on the standard cartridge, no bank switching, no tricks or anything. And it actually it came out, and at the Classic Gaming Expo, they actually sold 500 copies of it, none of which are on eBay. But you can play it online, and you can actually download the ROM and everything. Apparently, it has Microsoft's blessing to use the Halo font and the Halo name and everything. If you want to play it, go to CodeMystics, CodeMystics.com/Halo2600, and you'll be able to play it. Now, how to play it, it's basically, you know, go to the screen and kill the enemies. You're going to want to go up one screen to get the gun, because you can't shoot anybody, and basically spacebar shoots if you're using the Flash emulator. Basically, you go around and you shoot different Halo enemies, and you can only shoot left and right. They can shoot diagonally, up, down, etc., etc. And basically, you're going through, there's 64 screens, there's a boss at the end, and then there's a legendary mode once you beat the boss. So it's really kind of fun. I wish I went to Classic Gaming Expo. I would have definitely bought one of these. And you can download the ROM from AtariAge.com, which if you're into any of the Atari 2600 stuff at all, that's one of the best sites out there. So check that out, Halo 2600. It's a Halo game I actually like. He even got the Halo theme to play on the Atari 2600. Like it's got like a, you know, intro screen with the Halo and the name and everything. It's really good. I love it. More homebrew, please. We'll get into homebrew right now. How about that? Homebrew. I'm a big fan of homebrew. And, you know, as much as, you know, much crap as I give some people about, you know, when they mod their systems and they pirate games and all that stuff, because piracy is bad. But I've always been, you know, pro homebrew. Because it's the best way to learn how to program for a console is to actually program on the console. And, you know, XNA does a great job of introducing you to a lot of the elements, but it's, you know, the true homebrew programmers actually have access to the entire system, which you don't have in XNA. But XNA is still a wonderful starting point. I highly recommend it for anybody. But, you know, people who, you know, enable homebrew for their PSP, for their Wii, for their DS, they're actually learning how to code for all those systems. If you're actually doing homebrew programming and actually creating your own games rather than stealing somebody else's without their permission, it's great. And stuff. So I am always for homebrew. I've done a little bit of homebrew development. I tried to, you know, learn the Game Boy Advance back in the day. I was actually able to make like a square bounce around the screen. I could control it and everything. It was awesome. No, it wasn't. But if you're into doing that, and especially if you're into doing it on the DS, there's a big DS homebrew scene. A lot of game people make games for the DS and use the R4 to play them. Most notably is Bob's Game for All the Wrong Reasons because of the creator making a big spectacle about it. But, hey, we just mentioned it, so I guess it worked. If you live in the UK, you're screwed because they've been banned. The R4 chip, the R4 card, excuse me, the R4 card, which doesn't actually – I don't think the R4 card actually has any infringing stuff on it. It's just a card that houses a micro SD card, and it's basically it's a DS cartridge that has a micro SD slot on it, and then you have to go out and find the OS to put on the micro SD card to actually then have it boot up when you turn on your DS. So it's basically it's a circumvention device, and then you can put your own stuff on the card. So it's been. Hey, there's thunder outside. That's awesome. Hope my UPS holds. The BBC reports that a high court has ruled that devices that allow gamers to play pirated video games are illegal in the UK. The ruling specifically targets a range of popular devices that can be used to store and play copied games on the Nintendo DS. The ruling says game copiers are illegal to import, advertise, and sell in the UK. The defendants, Playables Limited and Y.Chan, had argued that they allow games to play homemade games. The ruling by Justice Floyd says, quote, the mere fact that the device can be used for a non-infringing perfect purpose is not a defense, unquote. And Nintendo, their response, reaction was, quote, we are pleased that the court was not persuaded by the defendant's arguments claiming that game copiers are lawful as they allow for the play of homebrew applications. The court affirmed that game copiers first circumvent Nintendo's security systems before any non-infringing application can be played on Nintendo's handheld products, unquote. So basically, it's kind of like saying, you know, the VCR is illegal because you can copy movies onto it. You can use it to copy movies. Now, I mean, Nintendo's angle in this, to be perfectly fair, and it's kind of what they said in their statement, is that they have to circumvent some of the hardware inside the DS, and they have to circumvent copy protection and security inside the DS just to be able to get to the part where the non-infringing stuff, like the homebrew applications, can be played. Because Nintendo even said that, you know, yeah, homebrew itself is not infringing on the console, but the R4 card does infringe. T27 Duck says, if devices that allow people to play pirated games is banned, then wouldn't the Weeble Any List also be banned because you can play pirated games on the system via software mods? Well, what they're saying is they didn't say play pirated systems. They said copy. It's a copy. They consider the R4 chip a game copier because you can use it to copy the games, not necessarily play them. So there you go. There's a lot of great, and a couple of games, it's kind of funny, like, from what I understand, like, some R4 games that were developed for the R4 actually, like, got ported to XNA and, are available on the Xbox Live Indie Marketplace. So it is a good spot for people to, and it's a good way for people to, show what they can do, because especially, like, if you really are trying to get into the game industry, you can, theoretically, if the people that you're interviewing with say are okay with it, they can say, "Well, can you show us a sample of your work?" Well, why? Yes, I have my DS right here, and here's the game I wrote for the DS. You can do that with an iPhone. Is really what most people use it for now. Is really getting into iPhone programming. But this is saying that is the R4 card in the UK is now illegal. Now, it's kind of funny. I just remembered I bring up the iPhone, and a court just ruled that jailbreaking in the U.S., I don't know if it was the Supreme Court, but there was a court somewhere. I don't think it was the Supreme Court because I know Apple's appealing. Actually ruled that jailbreaking your iPhone is not against the law. And I can't remember exactly the ruling. I'm sure somebody will come up with it in chat what they had said. But they basically, jailbreaking your iPhone to be able to run homebrew apps on your iPhone or iPod Touch is not breaking the law. But then again, then it becomes a copier because you can pirate app stores, and there is a vibrant pirate community for iPhone apps. Even like 99-cent apps get pirated all the time. There's a vibrant community out there for that, but you can run your code without having to go through Apple's strict guidelines. And a lot of people that made... Wow. Somebody up there is angry about the iPhone. I don't even know if you can hear that on the mic. I can barely hear it myself. The thunder totally ruined what I was going to think. I'm just going to look into chat. I forget what I was talking about. Chat.allgames.com. Meganbit says, if I'm walking around the UK with an R4 in my system, will I get banned? No, it's the sale. Basically, what they banned, once again, I'm going to look through the article, the ruling says game copiers are illegal to import, advertise, and sell into the UK. So if you're walking around with one, you're fine. You're not a criminal. The criminals are the people who import them, advertise them, and sell them, which, unless you are importing, advertising, or selling them, Bacon Bits, I think you're okay. So, continuing on, let's see here. T27 Duck says, so the sale of the device is banned, but having one is okay. Yeah, that's pretty much all they can really do. I mean, it's not like a, narcotic or anything. I don't think they can even do, I mean, it's the UK. I don't know what they can do. No, it's not like, it's an illegal substance. So you just can't sell it and advertise it or bring it in. What Up G says, the Game Genie used to be illegal in the U.S., but not Canada. So I was on a trip to Canada and bought one for me and a friend. I came home, and not long after my trip, Nintendo loses the court case legalizing the Game Genie in the U.S. Yeah, because I think by that time, people had figured out their own way to get through the Nintendo lockout chip and for the NES. And so it was no infringing code on the Game Genie and on Tengen cartridges and things like that, so Nintendo really couldn't stop them from putting out cartridges, and I think that's where that was. And also, I think there was some other stuff specific to modifying the game code on the cartridges. I love the Game Genie. It's the only way I beat a few games as a kid, because I sucked. Now, one thing I do want to say is, and in terms of modding systems, before I move on to the next topic, but in terms of, like, modding and stuff, I feel that, once you own a piece of hardware, it is yours to do as you please. You can do whatever you want to it. But where that stops is, you know, if you have to use someone else's service. Now, they can stop you from using their service. That's why when, you know, Microsoft's response to modded Xbox 360s is the perfect one, in my opinion. They are banning that console from accessing their service. If you want to access their service, you need to have a console approved by them. Once you modify your console, it's not approved by them anymore. But they don't ban you as the person. Your gamertag is not banned from Xbox Live. That console is. You can take your hard drive, put it over, take it to a different Xbox that's not modded, and happily curse at people on Modern Warfare 2 online all day and all night. Microsoft doesn't care. You just can't do it on your modded console. I'm perfectly fine with that. Cars have actually the same kind of restriction. You know, if you modify your car too much, it will no longer be street legal, and it is illegal to use it on the public roadways. It's the same way for cars. You know, yes, you know, once you buy a car, you can do with it whatever you want, but if you want to drive it on the roads, you better do it within specific parameters. You can't have nitrous in your car and have it be street legal. As much as you want to believe Need for Speed, yeah. So that's kind of the way that I am with you know, modding consoles. I think it's perfectly acceptable. You know, I think it's perfectly fine for people to modify their console or device or whatever. But I also think it's perfectly okay for a company to say, oh, you modded your console. Well, you can't use our service anymore that we provide. I'm perfectly fine with that. Begumbit says, according to the wiki, this is the law on jailbreaking. Jailbreaking an iPhone and an iPod and iPhone in the United States is legal under fair use and does not violate copyright laws defined by the DMCA. So that was kind of like, it's an exception to the DMCA. So the next story that I wanted to kind of talk about, and is, you know, we're kind of staying on the Nintendo topic. This is a Nintendo show tonight, believe it or not. We haven't had one of these in a while. And it's got a DEF CON. If you don't know what DEF CON is, it's a big, it's the Internet Computer Security Conference out in Las Vegas, where it's basically a bunch of hackers come together and discuss, you know, security. Granted, they discuss it by saying, here's how we hacked everybody. But, you know, some of the best computer security analysts are people who are hackers and have done that and have cracked encryptions and cracked computer systems and things like that. And so some students actually showed how they were able to install malware to a Wii and a DS. This was on VentureBeat. They reported that two hackers showed that they can hack someone's Nintendo handheld and console game devices to spread malware to whatever networks they are connected to. At DEF CON in Las Vegas, Ki-Chan An and Dong Zhuha, I think that's how I pronounce their names, showed off a number of demos to show that they could crack the Nintendo DS and Nintendo Wii and use them to upload malware. They said users don't expect malware to be loaded on game console devices, so they could be taken advantage of more easily. The researchers said they could spread malware in a number of ways. They could, for instance, inject a virus into a pirate version of a Nintendo game and upload it to torrent networks where users download pirated games. They showed how they could play a game in a compromised Wii system. They also found that many companies install Nintendo Wii devices in their workplaces, even though they don't let you walk through the company with smartphones or laptops. You know, and they actually say some sensitive work locations don't allow any devices with cameras. I've worked in some of those. If it's like a government contract, I had to make sure that I had a phone that didn't have a camera on it, because camera phones could not be allowed in, because you couldn't take pictures in there. By poisoning the Wii, they could spread a virus over the corporate network. People have a false sense of security about the safety of these game devices, but they can log into computer networks like most other computer devices now. In the demos, the researchers showed they could take compromised code and inject it into the main game file that runs on either a DS or a game console. They could take over the network and pretty much spread malware across it and thereby compromise an entire corporation. The researchers said they can do this with just about any embedded device, from iPhones to internet TVs. All that's needed is an embedded computer, networking, and input-output systems. A few of the demos failed because wireless networks weren't functional. Now, basically, I mean, I didn't get a chance to fully watch the video. I don't know if Tiger Claw did, because he was also linking this to me, even though I already had it in my thing. I think you already have to have installed Homebrew to get a lot of these to work, because one of the ways they inject it in is, you know, by putting it into a torrent. So if somebody downloads a pirated game, installs it, boom, it's going to be able to execute the code. But I don't know if they can just take a Wii that somebody had bought right off the shelf and infect it with malware. I'm not so sure if they can do that or not. And so basically, it's one of those, you know, you kind of got to be careful. You know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And, you know, it's, I guess people assume that, you know, well, I know that there are people that are like, oh, I wouldn't ever pirate a game on the PC because it could have malware in it and it could harm my system. There could be a virus. But it's okay to pirate on my consoles because you can't get a virus on a console. Yeah. You know what? Mac people thought you couldn't get a virus on their computer either. The truth is, nobody bothered writing a virus for the Mac until recently. So that's why the Mac seemed virus-free. Billy O'Kay says, this sounds like digital justice to me. The kind of torrent one Chuck Norris might upload. T27Duck says, in other words, if you do Homebrew, know what you're installing. So, you know, if you do Homebrew, maybe, you know, check it out. Check out the source code. Hopefully it's open source if you're installing something on Homebrew. Check out the source. So basically, it's more of a, you know, watch what you need, you know, watch out what you do. Don't be stupid. And don't pirate games. There you go. Because if you don't pirate games, chances are you won't hit any of this stuff. And I'm sure that there's viruses on the iPhone, there's viruses on the Droid, I'm sure that there's viruses on all those as well, or at least malware, especially since they're always connected. And there have actually been things of people, you know, hacking through Bluetooth and being able to get into your phone and get all your contacts and things like that. So this is really nothing new, it's just people don't think about it because it's not a computer. They think only Windows PCs can get infected with viruses and malware because Microsoft is apparently evil. Now, you know, the hard truth is coming out that anything can be. I mean, I've seen viruses for FreeBSD. You know, you'd think that wouldn't be touched, but somebody wrote a virus for FreeBSD. Jim Sally says, the more you know. Good points. So we're going to take a quick music break and then open up the phone line, see if anybody wants to call in tonight. Yeah. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Hey, this is GK128, and you're listening to the only show with the band hammer, the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Yes. For all the jerks out there, band hammer's for you. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio. It's time for you to call in and make the show yours. I have the Skype line open, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. You can talk to me about anything. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. If you've been playing StarCraft 2, feel free to tell me how it is and make me feel bad for it still being in the box. And I haven't even opened the box yet, but I've got it. I played StarCraft 64 over the week. That's 62 times better than StarCraft 2. It's awesome. Actually wasn't like that bad for what they had to work with. I mean, if you had to put StarCraft on N64, they pretty much did the best job they could with it. Billy O'Kay says, GK even sounds bored when he's making that bumper. That's the way he is. He's laid back. Very much laid back. Also, you can talk about things in chat, chat.allgames.com, and I will, you know, kind of go through them. If somebody's got a question in chat, something that maybe they want me to bring up that I didn't bring up in the scripted, well, prepared portion of the show. Let's put it that way. Scripted, prepared, whatever. Amazetsuma says it's only 32 times better. Thanks, Amazetsuma. Hey, there's that thunder again. I guess the thunder agrees with Amazetsuma. There you go. Doomplague, everybody thinks laid back. I'm trying. Work with me here, guys. Tireclaw says, Blizzard has a complete missed opportunity there. They should have struck a deal with Nintendo and released StarCraft 64 on the Virtual Console. I don't think it would have worked. You know, I'm not exactly sure that that StarCraft 64 would work with, like, a Wii virtual, the controller, the classic controller, because I think it was specifically designed for the N64 controller. We do have a call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this? Wow, what happened to your voice? That's weird. You've got a voice problem. Let me see if that's my thing. Let's see if it's this.
Hello, welcome.
No, that works. So T27 Duck has like he sounds like a duck when he calls in. You may want to check that out. That was weird. Yeah, that was Donald Duck apparently called in. I love this show sometimes. Bobby Blackwolf Show. Use Echo 123 if you're new to Skype. And make sure that it actually works. Make sure your stuff works. Make sure you don't have any voice masking going on with your sound card. So, you know, I know Sound Blasters have a lot of that and stuff. Yeah. You may want to check that out. I'm not trying to be mean, T27 Doc. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it was messed up. We couldn't understand a word you said. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Please don't rage quit. If Bacon Bits doesn't rage quit, you shouldn't rage quit, because he probably has a reason to rage quit tonight. Another game that I played a little bit this week, I actually finally did play some Limbo, and I haven't gotten far in it. I think I'm, 28% through, according to the leaderboard, and I do like it. Now, I know that some people had said that, this is the way adventure games should be done instead of the point and click, and this is a different type of game, adventure game, than the point and click. The point and click adventure games have their own kind of thing that they do, you know, and that's the way they tell the story, and Limbo and Braid tell a story a different way, and I love both. So I don't think adventure games should all migrate over to the Limbo way, like some people might think, but Limbo is really great. It feels like it is this year's Braid, although some people say that Limbo is too easy compared to Braid. If it works fine on your end, try it again. Maybe it was just something weird on our internet connection, T27 Duck. Spazinator makes the obvious how low can you go in Limbo joke. You can die a lot if you go too low in some things. What up, G asks, how would you say Limbo stacks up to a game like Out of This World? It's been so long since I've played Out of This World. I mean, that was like the Super Nintendo game that had like all 3D polygons, and we were like, oh my god, this is the future of video games. I just don't remember it all that much. I mean, so I can't really make that comparison. So let's try this again. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Okay, how's this?
Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. I did absolutely nothing.
That was weird. It must have been like an internet connection. T27 Duck is the caller. What's up? What's on your mind?
I just called to say that I am enjoying Halo 2600. It's the best Halo game ever made.
See, it's my favorite Halo game, too.
I never thought it was possible to say good and Halo in the same sentence. This is incredible.
How far have you gotten?
I've been through a few screens, kept dying on one spot where there was 9 elites shooting at you at the same time, but got past that.
Are you sure? Was it the 9 elites or the 3 elites that just look like 3 elites?
It might have been the 3 that look like a 3, because they all died when I hit one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it uses like all those conventional 2600 cliche tricks of like the 3 enemies and stuff like that. So you've been through a few couple worlds, because that's like the different, like they've got the ice world and the fire world and everything.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly in-depth for something Ed Fries just like said, you know, I feel like I'm going to pick up assembly language again. And then he did it.
Well, you can squeeze a crap ton of stuff in assembly.
Yeah.
Just a matter of doing it.
And one of the things I read is that he actually had a Warthog. So you could actually get into the Warthog and drive it around, but it wasn't fun, and it added like 1,000 bytes, and that was just too much. So he took it out so he could make the cartridge fit in the 4K.
Maybe in the sequel.
Maybe in the sequel he'll do some bank switching and go into the 8K. So anything else you want to talk about than just the Halo 2600?
No, not really.
All right. Thanks for your call then.
No problem. See ya.
I really should put the duck thing in the intro. I think that would be awesome. But then it would like encourage people to do that again. Havoc says, not a whole 1,000. Yeah, a whole 1K. Which, unfortunately, with the way that like Atari 2600 cartridges are, like if it's a 5K game, you need to use 8K. You need to use an 8K chip and everything like that in it. So it basically would have changed the production of it. And that's why he didn't want to do it. He was trying to, you know, charge himself with doing it only in 4K. Oh, T27 Duck doesn't want us to put the duck thing in the intro. But it's cool. Maybe Bacon Bits can call in and tell me how much he hates the new theme, and then I can put that in the intro. Then maybe he'd like it. So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. Remember, we've actually talked about, you know, why you shouldn't pirate. So that usually gets like 8 million people calling in telling me why I'm wrong. Also, we talked about the R4 cards are no longer able to be sold in the UK. You're not going to get arrested if you have one, but you just can't sell it. And, we've talked about getting malware on devices that aren't Windows PCs. Ah, Bacon Biz doesn't have a mic. Okay. Then you will be excused. So we have another caller here, Bobby Blackwell Show. You are on the air. Who is this?
Bobby, it's Jim Sally, man. How are you doing, brother?
Jim Sally, you sound the best that you have ever sounded calling into the show.
Isn't this amazing, brother? You want to know what I did?
What'd you do?
I switched to my wife's actual laptop that has real parts inside.
Wow.
like a processor and fucking RAM and shit.
Really, hey, thanks for cursing twice, so I have to edit that out.
Oh, sorry, Bobby.
I'm going to make a note of that. So what's up? What's on your mind?
Actually, this is what one of the things I was going to call you about was the computers. Have you been following the new Knights of the Old Republic MMO coming out?
I haven't been following it recently. I did get to see, at not this past year's E3, but the year before, I got to see the sit-in on the demo of it.
Oh, right on.
When you had to choose if you save the captain or kill the captain. We actually saved the captain.
So you've actually sat in front of it, though, and watched it run, then?
Yeah, I watched them play the build of it from last year's E3.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Really where my question's coming at is I keep checking the website all the time to see what the system requirements are going to be, and they never have them. And I need to go buy a new computer because obviously my netbook downstairs is garbage when I try to do anything. If you had to buy a computer for that game, what do you think I should go for spec-wise? Just really quickly, like processor size and RAM is really all I need to know.
I mean, I actually went ahead. I just built a new computer myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just built one back in April, and it's running Windows 7, 64-bit and stuff. And essentially what I put in it, which is not top of the line, but it's still kind of pricey, is I put in there, I've got I've got the i7. The Intel i7 860, I think. I think this is the box for it. That's why I'm kind of. No, that's not the box for it. But I got I've got an i7 Intel i7 chip, which is a quad core type, and I've got 8 gigs of RAM in it, which is probably
8 gigs, buddy.
That's overkill, though. You can probably get away with 4. So
you think 4 would be decent?
Yeah, 4 I think would be decent, and you know, you can get motherboards that will allow you to expand later. Because I got 8 exactly. Now, but I can expand up to 16. So that's kind of
nice video card in there, because all I got is like a shitty one.
There,
video
okay, there's
card
the third. There's the third edit. You know, I don't curse on my
4,
show. Right?
I swore twice in there, man.
Well, I was talking over it, so I don't think anybody heard that one.
Bobby, I'm going to try my best, man, to not do it anymore. But I make no promises.
That's okay. I'll just use duck noises.
Oh, that's good, man. That'd be my favorite. I also like the Nintendo coin.
Yeah. I put in a card. I've got an ATI card in here that's Crossfire ready. I don't exactly know right off the top of my head because I can't, that the box isn't in this room. But I basically have a card that's Crossfire ready, so theoretically I could put a second card in and expand it.
Whoa, that's pretty hardcore, brother. So, how many gigs is on, how much memory is on the card? A gig?
I think so. I'm not going to say for sure because I don't have, like, I didn't prepare to talk about what's in my system
right
now.
I just wanted something basic so I knew what to go look for at the store this week. Mm-hmm. That was my other question is, now it's school time, Bobby, so it means crazy computer deals online. Who does Bobby like to shop from when he looks for crazy computer deals online?
See, I don't shop online. My father is a dealer. So I actually get all the parts wholesale.
What? So Bobby's living the life, man.
I am. On this version, in this one way, I'm living the life. But actually, it was kind of funny. Like, I don't know if you have a Micro Center near you. They actually beat some of the prices my father could get them at. So,
wow, that's pretty
like
impressive.
my case was about the same, but the processor, like the actual i7 processor, was actually cheaper at Micro Center than it would have been if I had gotten it from his vendor. So Micro Center actually has a really good deals on processors. But that's really the only way, the only kind of thing I can just say. Maybe some people in chat, some people like Tiger. I know my company uses Newegg a lot. But
yeah, we got Tiger Direct down here in Canada. Yeah. We got them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I can give on that advice on that.
Right on, buddy. And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
Come on, but even if you don't like shooters, you can admit that it's the best shooter ever made, though, probably, right?
Probably, yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it.
Oh, I tried playing that Atari 2600 one you guys talked about at the beginning. I can't do that, man. That's just blasphemy almost.
It's awesome.
It looks so dirty.
It's awesome. It's one of the better-looking Atari 2600
games. If he got in trouble, like if he came home with a bad report card, I'd say, you have to beat Atari 2600. You can't play any other video games until you beat Halo 2600.
It's not that. I mean, there's only 64 screens, and you beat the boss at the end, and then you go into legendary mode.
It's so hard. I'll never be able to beat it. That's the real sad thing, is I was trying to play it, and I don't think I'll ever be able to beat it. Mm-hmm. I don't have the hardcore Bobby Atari skills, I guess.
Nope. You got to have the hardcore skills. I don't have the hardcore skills to play your new games, but you don't. And so it's fitting you don't have the hardcore skills to play my old games.
Yeah, I guess so.
It works out.
You're like the Bizarro Jim Sally on the Bizarro world.
There we go. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the tips, Bobby, man. You have a good night, brother.
You
Take
too.
Care, man.
Take care. Widest Angle Ever asks, how do you shoot in Atari 2600? First, you have to go up one screen to get the gun and then spacebar. See, look at that. Pro tip right there. And the gun is one screen up from where you start. And I think there's a better gun in the Red World, I believe. So I'm gonna give about 1 or 2 minutes, see if anybody else wants to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. And you can talk about anything or ask, you know, random questions like that. I do like my new computer. I bought it. I built this computer back in April, mainly because my old computer is really getting slow and bogged down now. And so I wanted to start over and get Windows 7 on it. And really bought it mostly for Civilization 5 and StarCraft 2. And I have StarCraft 2 sitting over here in the box, unopened. T27 Ducks asks, remember back in the day when you had to figure out how to do stuff in the game yourself and you didn't have the internet to tell you? I miss those days. Those days never existed. There was always Nintendo Power or the Nintendo Helpline, where it was a 1-900 number and there were staffers that would actually answer the game for you and tell you how to get to the Minus World and tell you, you know, how to pass that dungeon in Legend of Zelda. Yeah. What up, G says, or when there was no YouTube where you can watch what you need to do if you want to. There were ways. It just, they weren't as easy to get now. And yeah, that 1-900 number did cost a lot of money. I never called it. I don't know if you did. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people, well, I think two people out in Sacramento, California now. I've been refreshing the Twitter and have not seen any kind of update. So maybe we'll have an update here on the call. But they're on right after us, and they like talking about video games, kind of like what we do, and they spend a little bit more time to talk about it. So Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think you got the echo on.
I do have the echo on, my bad. You caught us here, like right as we were getting some things prepped, but that's okay.
I'm not here, Bobby. I'm somewhere else.
It's okay. It's a little crazy here in Sacramento tonight, but we're okay.
A little.
I've been refreshing the Twitters. There's no spawn information.
No, we don't have any further information about Loki. And for those that don't follow us on the Facebook or the Twitter, Loki's wife did start labor this morning at 11 a.m. So we don't know what the latest is. Latest was that she was getting ready to go into push mode. And Matt made a tweet, or not a tweet, but a Facebook thing. It said, in 20 to 30 minutes, she'll be pushing. And that was 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, you logically think if the baby shows up, the first thing he's not thinking is, oh, I better post to Facebook, baby here. You know,
yeah,
it's going to be before we hear anything.
I think he's going to have bigger priorities than the masses of the internet. Although the masses of the internet was quite a comfort for me over the last week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been a crazy week here at OLR Central.
That's an unfortunate statement.
I think it's been a crazy week everywhere because I'm still, you know, depressed over my red ring.
Red ringed.
Yes, he had a Halo 3 console that was his bribe that he got red ringed.
It red-ringed 5 minutes before we were supposed to start my Friday night show.
That's very similar to the time when the computer just died right before OLR. Mm-hmm. Or wasn't there a night where the video card like cut out or something?
Yeah.
And I had a diva moment and I stormed off set. I don't remember when that was.
I'm going to text Loki.
No, don't.
Is there a child yet? Is this the problem? Ask some text.
I don't think Nelly would appreciate that. I don't know why.
I could text Nelly. But we'll see. We're still going to press forward, though. We all knew this day was coming, so we're going to press forward with the show tonight. We don't have a quote-unquote replacement co-host tonight, but we do have some guests in studio that are going to help us through the show. And then next week, we're going to have something a little more permanent and, I guess temporary
permanent,
what it's worth.
And one of our guests hates Apple.
What?
So it'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of our guests is apparently loud like Loki, hates Apple like Loki.
But he's a lot nicer.
Yeah, so we'll... Loki... But here's the thing. Loki's like the nicest guy ever.
He is.
Off mic.
But he's quite grumpy.
Mm-hmm. His outlet.
He's our crotchety old man of the show.
He will be the get off my lawn guy.
He's going to sit there with a stick and like a shotgun full of rock salt. He's like, damn kids, get off my lawn!
So he's the one playing Halo 2600.
I didn't even know that was out.
Dan played it today. It looked 2600-tastic.
Now, why isn't that on Game Room? Like, wouldn't that be the perfect Game Room thing?
I think it would be.
Game Room's supposed to be all about retro games, but why not? A little cross-promotion. Mm-hmm. Maybe the week Halo Reach comes out. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's too smart for them. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it just came. He just finished it.
Well, yeah, no, so, I'm not saying it'll be out tomorrow, but hopefully it'll show up in Game Room in the next, you know, the end.
Especially since it's a former Microsoft Xbox employee that did it, and, you know, Microsoft gave their blessing to use the Halo name and logo and everything.
It could be something pretty exciting for Microsoft, but, I mean, I don't know. At the same time, I understand they might want to just be keeping it retro, but is it just me, or does it seem like they're running out of stuff? Because it seems like they only have Atari, Intellivision, Konami, and Activision on board, and they're starting to run thin. So, I don't know. I guess, what are some big Konami games from the early 80s we haven't gotten yet? Maybe Puyan, but that's about it.
Yeah, I haven't been looking into Game Room either. Obviously, now I don't want to buy anything until I get a real console. I don't want to buy anything on my backup console, because then the whole DRM thing, so...
The PC is surprisingly not bad for Game Room, at least in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then you have to do the double license thing, which
right.
I did for a few games. But yeah, I mean, it's you don't want to.
I did for one game, thinking I could use my mouse for it.
Ah ha ha ha! Nah, won't work.
Yeah, no, so, I was like, oh, you know, Super Breakout was probably easier if I used the mouse instead of a gamepad.
See, now I would have thought you would have said Crystal Castles, but no. You know, there's so many paddle games that just have not translated well to the analog. And don't translate well to keyboard either. There's Kaboom is out there as well. The Circus Atari is absolutely horrendous without a paddle.
Now, it's I will say that I got my highest score on Super Breakout, which is not enough to get the gold medal in the score, with the keyboard.
Some of those gold medals are tough. I'd like to know who's setting those scores, because some of them are very, very hard. Yeah. Whereas some are easy. Like, I think the one on... either Frostbite or H-E-R-O, I got my first time through. It was very so.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember beating you in Oink by, like, the third time I played it.
I need to go back and try to reclaim my throne, but I've kind of eased up on Game Room a little bit. Kind of waiting for some more exciting. Hopefully they'll get an agreement with Capcom like the Wii had, or they'll get, you know, somebody else to pump some more games into there. I always speculated it was going to be Apple II or Commodore games, but maybe not.
Not yet. So what are you guys talking about anything else tonight on the show?
Of course, we will talk about the latest and greatest in gaming, even though I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to have been a bit of a slower week. Unless you were playing StarCraft II, then it was a very busy week. So we'll talk about some of the fallout from StarCraft II. We're also going to talk about, speaking of Halo, we want to talk about an interesting thing that Bungie's doing with Halo Reach to combat those people that like to leave games before they're finished because they're not happy with the way things are going. Also talk about Valve and a huge ban that was kind of like a LOL whoops and what they did to make up for it. And one of my very favorite arcade classics. Now, this is a game I wouldn't mind seeing in Game Room. Pango is set to make a comeback. And, who would have thought I'd be talking about Pango making a comeback, but they are, and it's going to be kind of interesting because they're turning it into a almost, I want to say, massively multiplayer game, but not really massively, but it seems like it.
T27 Duck is hitting his head against the desk right now, by the way.
Why?
Because you think that Apple II games will appear on a Microsoft console.
yeah, I guess that is a little silly thinking. No, I was more thinking like Commodore 64 especially, and like old computers. When I think old computers, I think Apple II. But let's face it, all those Apple II games came out somewhere else. If not the Commodore 64, then the IBM Junior or what have you. And the rights to those ultimately lay with the publishers. But yeah, I can see where you might be a little bit headbanging.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd still have to get the emulator, which has the Apple code, so you'd need to have Apple's.
Yeah, so I guess that is sweet dreams. But stuff like, you know, the big stuff like Number Munchers, Oregon Trail, all that stuff was on Commodore 64 as well.
Right.
And even most of it was on IBM, to be honest.
Yeah.
So they could find ways.
And I mean, Oregon Trail's on the DSiWare store, apparently, according to BakerBits. So
yeah. There's ways.
Yep. All right. Well, Orange Lounge Radio is up next with special guests in the studio. Thanks so much.
Thank you, as always, Bobby. See you next week. Yep.
So that is it. DC Nate asks, wait, Game Room is on PC? Yeah, if you didn't notice, we're talking about Game Room. Game Room is both an Xbox 360 and an Xbox for Windows, or Games for Windows title. In fact, when you look at the box art on the 360, it has both logos. So you can actually install it on your PC, log in with your Xbox gamer tag, and you can actually play Game Room on your PC, and it's the same as your Xbox, same games, same score, leaderboards, and everything like that. So you can play it there. Unfortunately, you can only buy the games either for one or for both. So, like, if you pay the 240 space bucks to buy the game on your 360, you can't play it on your PC. If you pay 400 space bucks total, either in one sitting or an extra 160, then you can play it on both. Or you can buy a game just for the PC for 240 space bucks and not be able to play it on the 360. So that's the way they get you. A lot of people don't like that. But it's, you know, about... So $3 to play it on one, $5 to play it on both PC and Xbox 360. But you can't use a mouse or anything. I think you have to still use the Xbox controller or the keyboard. So it's either the keyboard or the Xbox controller. Anyway, that's it for this week. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for you to be a part of the show and catch us directly here at allgames.com, All Games Radio. And feel free to you know, leave me an email, blackwolf@allgames.com, if you want to suggest a topic for later. Or you can join our forums and chat room here at allgames.com all throughout the week. Lots of great shows here on the All Games Network. Friday night gaming. You got to be there live if you want to see the video, because we can't guarantee that you'll ever see video again of that. I don't know. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatter. So I want to thank you very much, Billy OK, DC Nate, GK128, The Rob D, Billy, Binary667, Burning Paper Sun. I almost said Billy OK again. He's not even in the list. He was up there. Bird, D5T, DeBlueGuy, Doomplague, Funnydale, Havoc, Heck, Kitsune, Maximilian, Shadow Next Gen, Stone Raider, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, Ake Ripper, Alpha Gananagram, Amazed Tsuma, Bacon Bits, Briggs, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, DJ Dark Knight, D-Man, Dungeon Buster, Fifth Dream, Flaming Bozo, Funny T-Man, Hitstun, Interlogic, Jim Sally, Kazan, Nuxonic, Matt Cube, Melta General, MXC, Necromoss, Nutman, OSU Fan, Pandalicious, Ranma, Robocon, 6, SSJ100, Matt, Spazinator, Sub-Z, Swarren, T27 Duck, T-Hamster, The Time Dilation Dude, TM95, Toagak, What Up G, Widest Angle Ever, Wilcon, and Zazu. So that's it for me. Here's the part where Bacon Bits rage quits because he doesn't like this. And we'll see you next week. And maybe everything will be done by then in terms of the intro. Yeah. So I like this song because I wrote it. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of All Games Radio or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios for All Games Radio.